up, everybody? Welcome to Lightning Bolts and Leather Jackets, where we take our concerns and questions about Christianity and figure out how to kick them in the teeth. I'm Victor Sassano, your host. Here we go.
What's up, everybody? This is actually part two of an interview with Dr. Patty Sadala. So if you haven't listened to the first part, you can go back into our archives on the podcast and click on that one first so you can catch up. And if you have, then we'll start part two right now.
You mentioned the dialogue journaling and the four keys to hearing God's voice. So tell me what that process looks like and how it affects your identity in Christ and how that transformation follows.
Okay, so dialogue journaling was something that Mark Verschler came up with after 11 years of an unrelenting heart's desire to commune with God personally and not really understanding how or why. He had become a pastor, and he could see that other people could hear from God and then say things like, oh, I felt God say, or, you know, they could sense that God's spirit guiding them. And he was a very, very left-brain guy that was really struggling with that. And he really knew that he was supposed to experience Christianity in his heart, but he didn't know how to do that, right? So his heart's cry for 11 years was, show me how to hear from you. And I do also want to say one thing about hearing, because even he calls it his book is called Four Keys to Hearing God's Voice. And, you know, one of the things that I've learned is that God is not just auditory. I mean, like I said earlier, it's about seeing and hearing and feeling and sensing and music and all and creative ideas and all kinds of stuff. But the basic thing that he discovered, and he found it in Habakkuk 2:1-2, which is an actual example of God communicating this way. But what I can say is that 2/3 of the Bible was written using these four keys, where people would hear God say something and they write it down. And the other third was written by people who had visions and saw things and experienced things in dreams and visions and wrote it down. So the entire Bible was written this way. So it's really simple. God's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, so it's always going to be the same. But the keys are simply this. And then I'm going to share what the keys are, and then I'm going to show you how it shows up in Habakkuk 2:1-2. The keys are, quiet yourself down, and that means internally and externally. Originally, when you start doing this, it's like, get in a quiet room, go where you're not going to be disturbed. You know, and internally, it's like a breathing, getting yourself to calm down posture, right? So quiet yourself down. And the reason for that, I won't take too long, is because the frequency, God's language, God's voice is tuned to the alpha brainwave, which is actually, interestingly enough, children live in the alpha brainwave from the ages of 4 to 8. Or maybe it's even 2 to 8. And so that's where there's relaxing, there's trust, there's play, there's creativity in that brainwave. Adults are in a much faster brainwave. So you have to actually slow your roll. When you're driving and you don't really realize you've been driving for a while, your brain's been an alpha. And the Lord likes to speak to you during that time. So quiet yourself down is key number one. The second key is fix your eyes on Jesus. What that means is that you expect to see, hear, and feel Jesus. Now, we're lucky that our Trinity, we have a human being that we can picture is Jesus. You're actually connecting with the entire triune God here, mostly the Holy Spirit, but you're fixing your eyes, you're picturing Jesus, and you're expecting to have a conversation, see, hear, and feel him. The third key is, and so what we're not doing is fixing our eyes on any spirit. We're not calling on anybody. We're calling on him. And yeah, we tune to spontaneity. Spontaneity can come like a thought, a feeling, a picture, a story, a bubble, a lyric, a creative idea. It can come as anything. When you fix your eyes on Jesus and anything that starts to pop up, you acknowledge and then write it down. You want to write it down. That's the fourth key. So tune to spontaneity. The fourth key is write it down, what you saw and heard. You do not evaluate while you're experiencing it, but we do want you to evaluate what you receive against the Word of God and against God's nature and character. That's how you know what voice you're listening to. Okay,
right.
Because it's your thought in your head, you think it's your thought, but it's not your thought. Sometimes the enemy is speaking self-deprecating things into your spirit, and you think it's you. It's not. It's him. You need to understand whose voice you're listening to. It's the spontaneous thought comes, and it's positive, it's loving, it's encouraging, it's convicting, not condemning. The difference there is that it's very specific, and you feel better after you talk to about it, and not worse. It's condemnation. It's going to tear you down instead of build you up.
Even like conviction from the Holy Spirit is supposed to be freeing, you know,
Exactly. You feel convicted, but you feel like I'm a better person now. Yeah, that's God. And then the enemy is going to sound like his name too. A character. It's going to be lying. It's going to be deceitful. It's going to be self-deprecating. Tear you down, make you feel bad. Make you angry. Make you all this stuff. Right? Negative thing. Your voice in your head is analytical. It's logical. The Lord doesn't live in the head, he lives in the heart. So if you're getting too intellectual, that's you. So those are the three voices it could be.
I hadn't considered that before, like that because God lives in the heart, not on the head, he won't approach things from an analytical standpoint, which I guess would make sense since he is truth, so he wouldn't need to analyze something that he already knows. You know,
if you look at Jesus and how he taught, it was in parables. It was in stories. It was relevant to the people. He talked about being a fisher of men to the fishermen, right? I mean, he talked in the language of the people he was speaking in their cultural pictures. He didn't, you know, he actually didn't spend most of his time in the synagogue. He spent it on the street explaining biblical things at a very heart level with stories and parables, right? That's the language of the heart. He demonstrates that for us in the Bible. So Habakkuk 2:1-2, the context of it is that Habakkuk is a prophet at the time of the beginning of the 70-year exile. He's watching the Babylonians come and take people away, and he's really confused because he's like, hey, they're your people, God. What are you doing? They're your people, God. Why are you allowing this to happen? And so he's really confused, even mad at God. Like, and that's okay, he doesn't fall off his throne. So he goes to the top of a rampart. So Habakkuk 2:1-2 says, I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart. What that means is he's going up to a quiet place where he can fix his eyes on God. Because he is going to look up to God, he's posturing his heart at a quiet place and going up high. It's like representing, I need to go connect with high. And I will watch to see what he will speak to me. That's interesting because you've got eyes and you've got ears. And there is an expectation there that she's going to hear something. He's looking and listening with expectation. He's going to hear from God personally, and he's using the eyes and ears of his heart to do it. And that's the spiritual senses of seeing it in the spirit. And then I may reply when I am reproved, which means that Habakkuk knew it would be a conversation back and forth, and he knew that God was going to explain it to him because he was mad, right? He knew he would be reproved for being mad, right? And he knew that God was going to explain it to him. Then the Lord answered him and said, so the God did reply personally, right? Record the vision and inscribe it on tablets so the one who reads it may run. So he commanded Habakkuk to write down what he was saying because we will forget what he's saying and what he's showing you. So it's important to write down, not just for you, I have like 37 filled out journals at this point in my life, and I started journaling, I think, 6 years ago.
Wow.
And I have big handwriting. It's very hard. It's very illegible. It's hard to read, but. So that's, but it's still, those are all the conversations I've had. And I remember telling a story of somebody where the Lord had given me an experience where I got to see David write a psalm, and I forgot about it. Can you believe that? I forgot about that. And someone said, can you find that journal entry where the Lord showed you David writing a psalm? Because he taught me a three-part prayer in that. And I forgot about it. Isn't that crazy? But I was able to go back and find it, and I was able to include it in a book later.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, we can forget all kinds of things, unfortunately, but that's why, you know, you write it down. That's good.
Yeah, so you write it down. So anyway, it's super, super easy. The eyes and ears of your heart are two of the senses that, spiritual senses that everybody has. If you close your eyes right now, and you start to picture in your kitchen, picture your kitchen with your eyes closed. You see it?
Yeah.
All right. I want you to walk over to the sink. I want you to turn the sink on in the screen of your mind. You see it?
Yep.
All right. Set that off. Now go over to the kitchen or to the fridge. Open the fridge. You see the contents of the fridge?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
you just use the eyes of your heart. Everybody has this ability. Now, if you could do that, you can see Jesus in your spirit. It's as simple as that. Okay, now close your eyes, and I want you to sing Happy Birthday in your ears. That was you using the ears of your heart. Okay, if you could do those two things, and I don't know too many people that can't pass those tests, that's how easy it is. So my trailer episode of my Experience Jesus podcast walks you through the biblical foundations for all of this, and it gives you your first special place exercise where you can create a spiritual home base where you can go back every day, all the time, and have conversations with Jesus and have fun with Jesus.
That's really cool. When I was listening to you do that in your trailer episode, honestly, it was a little bit hard for me to swallow, not because it was something that like I didn't agree with, but it was something I never thought of before. I don't know if you watch anything related to like Sherlock Holmes or something, but I know in certain outlets of media, he talks about like a mind palace, you know, and I've always thought that was so cool to like, you know, have a mind palace and go and access any memory you wanted, you know, and it was super organized and everything. I am not organized like that. I would love to have a mind palace, but even if it was, and the science on it is kind of like, you know, iffy, like mind palaces aren't really scientifically proven, I guess, according to my limited research, but even if it was possible, my brain is not generally organized enough for me to do that. So, but this seems, when I was listening to you talk just now, it's kind of, that was what I got a picture of my brain about, was kind of like a spiritual mind palace where you could have, like you said, like a home base, something that you recognize, like your kitchen or like your toddler's bedroom.
My special place, actually, and it's interesting because people who tend to be left brain, more logical, they will tend to have a special place of a place that gave them some sort of comfort and joy in the past, in this natural realm. Okay. People who are right-brained will often see beautiful places they've never been. And I'm more right-brained, so my special place is actually, it started off as a little grassy knoll, and now it's expanded into a huge, huge place with lots of things and everything. Well, anyway, when I went to Israel in 2017, after journaling for a couple of years in my special place, seeing a tree and the sea and the flower path and all the stuff in my place that I would see there, I'm in Israel looking at this place in the natural. It's like in Israel, and I'm like, what? Wait a minute.
That's amazing.
I took pictures of it, and it was crazy. It was really cool to see that. But you know, but the bottom line, the reason it's important that you have a spiritual home base like that is that at any point, especially when you get good at this, like with practice, you can just instantly be in Jesus' presence, just instantly. You know, quieting yourself down is something that you can train your body to do in the middle of chaos. So the outer world is crazy, but you can tune in to that place in your spirit and have an instant conversation with the Lord. There's a story I like to tell about that where a man was a teacher and in the teacher's lounge, this other lady came up to him and just attacked him in front of everybody verbally. And he was able to testify that he was actually facing her, hearing her attack him, and simultaneously tuned to the Lord going, "What's going on?" And he asked the question, he asked the question, "Show me her heart." And the Lord said, "Oh, she had a very, very big fight with her husband today, and she's really upset. This isn't about you." So he gave him something to say to her that just made her burst into tears and apologize to him. And it was like, wow, I just learned something. I can access God any moment I need to, and he's there for me. So that's the whole point of why I like to train people how to create a special place. And the Lord will take you beyond that place. So lots of, you know, anywhere he wants, right? But the minute you do experience him for the first time, it gets easier and easier and easier to see him there again.
Right, and, like a exercise, you know, the more you do it, then the easier it gets.
Right.
You know, or the more accustomed you are to it.
Exactly. So you just want to make sure that you, you know, it, with practice, you just get a lot better at it. So.
Yes.
So I encourage everybody to check that out. It's super, super easy. It's so much easier. It's ridiculously easy. And people are like, wow. Now, if you're struggling with it, if you try it and you're struggling with it, chances are you're getting in God's way. You're trying. And it really works by surrendering, not trying. It's not you making it happen. It's him making it happen. So, and people, you know, I have all kinds of tips. There's a dialogue journaling tips episode I have on my website that helps people work out, like, I'm struggling or I'm getting something and then it hangs up. Well, if you start going, is this real? It'll hang up because your unbelief will disconnect the Lord, you know?
Right.
But I do have an episode on dialogue journaling tips where people can, figure out how to do this, easier and it'll diagnose like issues that you might be having that make it not work for you and all that. But
the important thing is to keep trying because, you know, that just because it didn't work the first time or the second time or you only got halfway or whatever, it doesn't mean you stop doing it. Doesn't mean it's not going to work. It just means you have to keep practicing because no one, or at least very rarely, are you perfect enough to get it right the first time, you know, 100% of the time.
Exactly. I mean, I worked with this guy. I mean, one of the guys that attends one of my groups. You know, I was really also, the whole second episode is about childlike faith and how being a child helps and because of the alpha brainwave thing. So anyway, he was really struggling and all he could get the first time was just himself as a toddler hugging Jesus' neck. But that's actually kind of big. You know, that's not a bad first experience to have. If you have that experience and you have that memory now, that's not too bad, right? Okay.
Yeah,
so, the last time I met him, he went on a crazy, so from that little thing, two weeks later, he was doing a full-on vacation experience with the Lord and dancing. He said, Jesus has some sweet moves. I mean, we were cracking up. He had like this theater experience going on, this supernatural experience. And Lord's like, and he was saying, oh, we're in the spirit and we're in the forest now and I want there to be grass on the forest. Can there be grass on the forest? Sure. You're in a supernatural environment. You're not limited. So let your imagination go crazy and let the Lord show you whatever he wants to show you. It's awesome.
That's really great. Yeah, that's definitely something that I'm going to start implementing, I think, in my quiet time and I try to talk to the Lord, especially if I'm frustrated. I'll try, instead of talking to myself about how frustrated I am, I try to turn it into a conversation with, you know, with God. And so I've been slowly trying to be more intentional about throughout the day talking with Him and stuff like that. But I really love the idea of this spiritual home base, or like you were talking about. I think that's
well, and it's not hearing. What I love about it is it's not just hearing, it's seeing, it's feeling, it's experiencing. You remember what you experienced more than you remember what somebody said.
That's true. It's not the Hearing even, Jesus podcast, even, it's the Experience Jesus podcast. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Patty, for coming on the show. Really appreciate your insight and on this dialogue, journaling and everything. It's really great. Anybody that's listening, Dr. Patty Stahl is links are in the show notes, so you can go to her podcast, go to her website, you can look at her books and all of those things in between. And it's gonna be great. And I'm actually going on your show at some point in the future.
Yep.
And talking about some stuff. So stay tuned for that, guys, and we'll see you guys next time.
Until then, this is Victor Sassano encouraging you to be a bolt of fresh air.